In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Tonight's first reading. As the preacher, as he calls himself, set down his rather resigned, somewhat beautiful view of old age, he did so against an impressive political background. Israel found itself sandwiched between the empires of Egypt and Greece, with the Greek emperor Antiochus now in the ascendancy to the north. The geopolitical scenario was fluid, and there was much of strategic importance to occupy the mind. Yet even against this background, the preacher shows a detailed concern for human affairs. He observes and advises on youth and old age, what he sees as the futility of life, sickness, family life, dying, being born, ploughing, relationships between husbands and wives, how to succeed in life, and why some people lose their way and end up wretched. So again, in our second reading, Paul, at the middle of the first century AD, another huge empire, Rome this time, with her emperors, military might, conquests, colonization. Add to that the battle between Jewish messianic theology and philosophies of the Greek world, the struggle among the gods, Greek or Roman, and the one true God of Israel. That's the strategic background. And in Paul's smaller Christian enterprise, as it was at the time, the battle between Jewish, Christian, and Gentile Christian, with the growing numbers of non-Jewish converts thrown in for good measure and complicating the picture. And yet, we see again, Paul, against this background, is concerned for a young man who is working for the infant Christian church, weaving his way between the various quarrels and conflicts of belief and moralities. Here is his helper, Timothy, a very young man. And as Timothy does his vigorous individual work, enlarging the church and cherishing those Christians who have already believed, Paul is still concerned for him as a human being. And he does so in images familiar to Timothy in his day, the games in the Roman arenas, farmers still cultivating as they were in the day of the preacher before him, soldiers on active service, and he talks in terms that are close to Timothy's experience, bringing hope, comfort, encouragement. Of course, the pattern was set by Jesus himself. The individual was precious to him. He would break away to heal the sick. He would break away to welcome children, to reassure those who were bereaved. And while Rome and its client kings ruled his own, Jesus's land, and his own mission proclaimed the coming of a kingdom of heaven, he was always prepared to express that kingdom in everyday terms. An individual woman sweeping a floor to find a coin, a shepherd with his sheep, the city of Jerusalem on its hill, and he would turn off the road to answer the call of the sick or the blind, begging for healing or sight. This cathedral too takes its place against a wide contemporary political background. With other cathedrals, it has to relate to the problems of the world church. It must somehow bridge the divide between Catholic and evangelical. It must reach out to parishes. It must look to its own continued existence, re-roofing, revamping structures, modernizing procedures. At the same time, as in the time of the Greeks in the 3rd century BC or in Timothy's day, there is need for care towards the small cogs in the machine. The people who ran the cathedral 20 or 30 years ago are now growing old, and sometimes they feel as they had never been. Whether paid staff or volunteers makes very little difference. They have given many years of service, guides, stewards, members of the choirs, flower arrangers, servers, working in the shops or offices, bell ringers, vergers, day chaplains, and a host more. And clergy too. We in the pew often imagine that clergy can look after themselves or each other. But often this does not happen. Priests and ministers, once the center of things, can feel forgotten and lonely and overlooked. The cathedral aims to respond to the human need that is a perennial presence, even while diocesan and world church affairs move on their strategic way. It does so here through a group of volunteers known as the pastoral team. They are commissioned by the cathedral and the diocese to work at an individual level for a wide range of people. Some to assist with preparations for infant baptism, to visit the families, to support them at home and stand with them during the baptismal service, to know names and even sometimes remember them. Then there are those whose years of service are done and who can no longer get out of their homes to worship with us. And the cathedral offers the sacrament of Holy Communion in the home. Lay members of the pastoral team use wafers consecrated at one of the services of Eucharist held in the cathedral, so that there is a sense of solidarity between the person being visited and the congregation that still actively attends. And if anyone able to come to services needs a home visit just for a chat and to maintain contact with a cathedral rather than for Holy Communion, then that is possible too. Pastoral care is available too for those who are unwell at home or at hospital. At home, they too can be brought the sacrament by a member of the pastoral team. For those in hospital, the cathedral contacts the hospital chaplaincy to help them in this service. People can live a long way from Guildford, and in such cases, the cathedral can approach the local parish with a view to arranging home communion from closer to base. Those who are unwell are named on a list which is available to those who conduct the daily services here. The list has two sections. There are those of immediate concern, and that list is read at Sunday morning Eucharist during the intercessions. And those whose conditions are longer term and less pressing are named on a longer list, again available to those presiding at other services here. Sometimes, as I've said, those who once worshipped here feel indeed as though they have never been. No matter how wide the cathedral's remit, we only follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ if we can show that within this community we value one another by showing love and concern. By its very function, the cathedral has to take more notice of the strategic background of national and world church politics than does a parish. It has to maintain a vaster property and look to greater finances. But in the meantime, following in the footsteps of both the preacher of Ecclesiastes and the Apostle Paul, we still want to give time and attention to the individuals who undergird the whole operation. Without them, the whole enterprise, strategic or local, could not continue. If you or your family, young or old, need help of the kind that I have touched on here, ask anyone to put you in touch with a member of the clergy or with a member of the pastoral team. This church, huge as it is not and must not be so taken up with the strategic big picture as to neglect the individuals for whom it ultimately exists. Call on us if you have pastoral need, and we, in the name of the Lord Christ, will do our level best to meet that need, because it was He, our Lord Christ, who called us into being. Amen.